Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
CBS Sports Radio.
Live from CBS Radio Studios in New York City, it's the DA Show with your host, Damon Amendolara, featuring producer Mraz and the musical sounds of the Zap Zap Orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's DA.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Good morning, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. Coming up here on the show in about 20 minutes, Brett Gardner of the Yankees clearly needs a restraining order. Wait until you hear the woman that is after him and insists that he is her future husband. Problematically, he's already married. Also, in about 40 minutes, the winner of last night's Daytona 500, Denny Hamlin, is going to join us on the show. Now a three-time Daytona winner, we've got Denny Hamlin coming up here on the show in approximately 40 minutes from now. Last night also, the biggest news was Ryan Newman's crash. Thankfully, his injury is not life-threatening, if you were wondering about it. Right now, still, the reports are that his serious crash, he's in serious condition, but doctors have indicated his injuries are not life-threatening. It was an absolutely horrifying injury, or horrifying crash, rather. So he came across the finish line and came across it in the air as his car was on fire, skidded to a stop, had been slammed into while it was in the air by another car. And Ryan Newman, thankfully, even after such a scary situation, was taken out of the car behind large black screens that the crowd couldn't see. It was not televised by Fox. The TV network decided not to show him being extracted from the car because obviously it was going to be potentially gruesome or terrifying or a lot of things that go through your mind. Thankfully, last night, after there was some real concern about his state, that not life-threatening injuries. He's in serious condition right now. So if that changes over the course of this morning while we're on the air over the next 2 hours, obviously we'll let you know. Denny Hamlin was kind of in the middle of this last night because people criticized him and Joe Gibbs Racing for celebrating the win in the wake of this, but Gibbs made this very clear that they had no idea. Their headsets were off. They had no idea that this was all taking place behind them as they celebrated. So Denny Hamlin caught in a weird situation where he is doing donuts after his Daytona 500 win, and yet here is a guy who is being extracted out of a flaming wreck right behind him. People thought that was in poor taste, but he says, and Joe Gibbs made it very clear, they did not know. So we'll talk to Denny Hamlin about that, such a bizarre set of circumstances to win your third Daytona 500 coming up here about 40 minutes from now, a little bit less than that, about 40 minutes past the hour. It's a Trash Tuesday, so we want your trashes. Hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Justin Turner, Big Red, member of the Los Angeles Dodgers, taking Rob Manfred to task for suggesting that taking back a, quote, piece of metal, the Commissioner's Trophy, the trophy for the World Series Championship, would be futile if he took it away from the Houston Astros.
You know, calling the World Series trophy a piece of metal. I mean, I don't know if the Commissioner's ever won anything in his life. Maybe he hasn't. But the reason every guy is in this room, the reason every guy is, you know, working out all offseason and showing up to camp early and putting in all the time and effort is specifically for that trophy, which, by the way, is called the Commissioner's Trophy. So for him to devalue it the way he did yesterday is just tells me how out of touch he is with the players in this game. And, you know, at this point, the only thing devaluing that trophy is that it says Commissioner on it.
So if I was defending Rob Manfred here, and that's a pretty harsh call by Justin Turner, the only thing devaluing the trophy is his name on it. If I was defending Rob Manfred, I would say, look, Manfred knows the value of winning a championship, obviously. He's the commissioner of the sport. What he is saying is the actual piece of metal that makes up a trophy doesn't make you a champion. What makes you a champion is your legacy that you leave behind and everybody representing what the hard work that was earned means. And so the Houston Astros having their quote-unquote piece of metal taken away, that doesn't represent whether you're a champion or not in my mind. And okay, I could kind of see that. Kind of. I mean, you know, we don't associate the Pittsburgh Steelers with four Super Bowl championships because they carry around four trophies all the time. It's because we know what they won. We don't consider the Kansas City Chiefs the champions only because of a trophy. It's because we know what we saw. They'll be a champion forever, whether you melted down that trophy, whether they sell their ring, whether they have the hardware or not. Okay, kind of. I kind of get it. But it is the worst thing for a commissioner to say. It is the absolute worst thing. The commissioner is supposed to, of all people, realize what that trophy represents to his players. That trophy is the thing that separates them. It is the one physical, tangible piece of evidence that they get to touch that says, we did it. Not them, we did it. We get to touch something tangible. That trophy, when it's in a case, and somebody walks by that case that was on that team, looks at that and says, I helped put that there. For athletes that commit their entire lives to hard work, to dedication, to the effort, to the grueling emotional up and down that is being an athlete, that is being parts of wins and losses. I mean, if you were to go into the New England Patriots trophy room and Roger Goodell took away six Lombardis, would the Patriots just be like, yeah, so what? Everybody knows we won them. No way. They would fight tooth and nail to keep those Lombardis. And could you imagine Roger Goodell saying, the Lombardi trophy is a piece of metal? No. Could you imagine, of all people, Gary Bettman calling the Stanley Cup the Holy Grail, the chalice? Could you imagine him calling that a piece of metal? I mean, the whole thing is that sports puts an inordinate amount of value on that piece of metal because it's not just a piece of metal. It's because that piece of metal represents so much more. It's that piece of metal is what bonds those guys for the rest of their lives. Yes, memories are important. Yes, legacies are important. But damn it, that piece of metal means so much to those guys. I mean, for Rob Manfred not to get that, again, I could kind of rationalize what his argument is here, but to not get that makes me really worried because I didn't think Rob Manfred was a bad commissioner before this. I think he has been placed in a really tumultuous time. He has been put in place at a time where baseball is losing younger audience, is losing attendance, is losing national relevance. It's making good money, but in terms of long-term stock, you'd have to be pretty worried about what baseball is 30 years from now if everybody that loves baseball is over the age of 50. Rob Manfred has been basically, his job title is run a league, but also figure out a way to save a league. In real time, cut down on the pace of play and cut down the lack of inaction, or the lack of action, rather, during baseball games, and do this while making sure revenues go up. And, oh, by the way, it's not Rob Manfred's fault. There's a massive cheating scandal because the Astros pushed the envelope even farther than anybody in the Major League Baseball could. Had this happened 10 years ago, this is Bud Selig's problem. It happened today. It just happens to be Rob Manfred's problem. So it's a tough situation for him. However, I mean, this thing, he's handled this so badly. It is not a fireable offense in my mind. I don't think you fire that guy. I don't think he's going to get fired. I don't think this is the type of thing that you fire him over. But calling the one, calling your own trophy, this is your own friggin' trophy that you hand out, calling that a piece of metal just totally misses the mark on why this whole thing matters. And sometimes you go like, okay, Manfred gets it. The Jim Crane pseudo-apology explanation was a disaster, and okay, Manfred gets that. And the Astros' lack of contrition and wagging their finger and denying, I mean, is just so bad and so dumb. And the organization itself is so rogue right now, and he's kind of calling that out. Okay, that's good. And then you have him say things like this, or try to make jokes at the press conference about the Field of Dreams tickets, or, you know, kind of trying to, can we move on here? And you go, you're not getting it. You're telling the Astros they don't get it, but you don't get it either. And you're the commissioner. Like, if anybody should understand the weight and the gravity of how these guys feel, it should be you. You're overseeing the league. And he didn't just tiptoe into this commissionership. He was under Bud Selig for years. He's been part of baseball for years. I don't think Rob Manfred's a terrible commissioner. I don't know he's not, but to this point in time, I don't think that he is. I think that how he's handled all of this has been disastrous. I can't believe he's this tone deaf. Mraz, I can't imagine Roger Goodell ever calls the Lombardi Trophy a piece of metal, and I know Gary Bettman, if he ever called the Stanley Cup a piece of metal, would be hung by his toenails, you know, somewhere in Detroit and pelted with octopus.
That's a heck of an image. And you know where Rob Manfred is going to get very lucky here? Unlike any of the other commissioners, Goodell, Bettman you mentioned, Adam Silver, Rob Manfred rarely, if ever, is in public in front of fan bases where, I mean, how many times Gary Bettman come out to bring out the cup and he gets booed by fans? For what at this point? I even forget. Goodell constantly, if he's, you know, shown in a box or a booth, a stadium could boo
him. At the draft, in a box, at a game. Yeah.
When is Rob Manfred ever in front of fans publicly that he could face the shame and the booing and the criticism that could come with this? He's going to wait for all of this to die down. He's going to go about his merry way. He's going to try to figure out pace of play situations, whatever other nonsense with playoff scenarios he wants to come up with. And he's never, ever, ever going to face the criticism of fans. And I think that's the real shame with that position of baseball commissioner.
Well, don't you think he's getting that, though, now? I think
he's getting it, but does it affect him?
He's hearing it. He knows that everybody's killing him on this. All of his players are killing him.
Absolutely right. And that's a major issue when your players are killing you. But the players have killed Goodell, and he survived, even if the fans boo him. But I think when you're Rob Manfred and you're trying to connect, I think more so with the players, you want to connect with the fans of your great game. And he will never feel the heat and criticism or pressure of fans. He just won't. He could turn off sports radio. He doesn't have to read anything. He's never out in public. We don't even get the real big Rob Manfred press conference that can be asked like the toughest question. I mean, he did a sit-down with Carl Ravage.
He did do a press conference, though, after that.
I understand he did it, but he made sure that his first line of speaking was a nice, conditioned, you know, one-on-one. That's not right either. I just think that Rob Manfred, in the end, he's going to wait for this to die down. He's going to go about his merry way, and he's going to escape criticism when really, if I'm an MLB owner right now, and he's clearly trying to defend the Houston Astros, and you're an owner of the other 29 teams, how are you not getting together right now and saying, we got to get this doofus out? We got to get him out now.
I don't think they're going to do that. I think he's going to survive this, but I do think his credibility is irreparably harmed. You just can't call your own friggin' trophy a piece of metal. That's your trophy. I mean, even a little league wouldn't call their own trophy a piece of metal. I mean, that's why you're doing this, is because you have put a value on that.
And on that point, baseball's become such a regionalized game, right? Isn't that the biggest problem with baseball, that only you only care about your team and your market, and you don't care about anybody else?
Right.
So if your team isn't playing in the World Series, and this year it's Yankees-Dodgers, and you're a fan of the Minnesota Twins, why are you even more invested to watch that World Series if the commissioner of the sport that you're trying to watch just thinks that that trophy's a piece of metal? You're inclined to stay up until midnight with your kids if the commissioner of the league is just referring to it as a piece of metal to watch that trophy earned? Why would you do that? That is such a spit in the face of a sport that's struggling with the fact that fans only care about the teams in their own market.
Those guys, those players, are down in spring training right now thinking about October.
Right.
They're thinking about it right now in February. I'm taking this cut. I'm working on my swing. I'm working on my pitch angle. I'm working on my arm axis. I'm working on run of the bases and listening to the manager and trying to work on this, and I hope we can do this and that. And they're thinking about October to touch that trophy. This is why they're doing this, to touch that trophy. And you just called that trophy a piece of metal. I mean, it's kind of impossible to have designed it worse for Rob Manfred. Alex is next up at a Trash Tuesday, listening in San Antonio to radio.com. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, DA. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
So I have two quick things. One trash, and then after listening to the PGP, I have an idea. So I'll try to be quick.
Okay.
So Damien, I have to trash you for not having Raz's bat. You've been together 7 years, all last week, and you allow people just to hate on him.
Forget allowing them. I invited them to do it.
I know. I mean, the PGP was great last night when I listened to it. As y'all kind of came back together, the band's back together. I feel like all is well. So I think that's good moving forward. But I do have an idea for the show, and this would help with what you're requesting, DA, and getting Mraz to do more work. 4 hours is great. It's a lot of content, and I appreciate the DA show. Even on my hour commute each way, I still don't have a chance to always listen to all 4 hours. So it'd be great if Mraz could put together, like, the best of show, like, hour and a half podcast.
Okay, Sam, trash me.
Splash Brothers. More like the Trash Brothers.
And Mraz just slammed down his pen and started rubbing his face because he knows what just happened. That Alex in San Antonio just created an idea, put a light bulb in my head for more work for Mraz.
Oh. Again, I'm going to say I'm all for more work. I'm not going to fight it. So if that's what needs to be done, I will do it because I have to put a brave face on and do it. But here comes the but. We, at the early stage of the show, did this. We did a best of show. And it became evident from listeners that they wanted access to all 4 hours and not just us selecting, because what we may feel is the best of the DA show, others may not. I do worry about our podcast clicks and downloads about posting all 4 hours if we are going to boil this down to a 90-minute best of.
So,
our numbers are already great.
Alex, I want to let you know I appreciate the suggestion. I will take it into consideration.
Oh.
And this right here is the real kernel of my frustration with Mraz.
No question.
Is because when you said that, his initial reaction was, oh, God, no.
Absolutely.
Why would
right.
you do this? Don't do this to me. Instead of, you know what? Decent idea. We should do what's best for the listener. And here's a hardcore listener. We want to make sure that we are delivering for him.
You're right.
That is just not your purview.
You're right. That should not have been my reaction. I'm going to try to bite my tongue and bite my lip. I think if you had come to me with that idea, I my reaction would have been different. I think it's the idea of a listener creating more work for me that sticks in my craw more than the idea itself. You know,
I disagree.
I think
if I brought that idea, you'd say the same thing
behind your back. But I definitely wouldn't have that reaction
okay,
to your face.
Okay,
not to your face. But look, if that's what a listener wants, I am here for the listener.
Well, I love this exercise because this was a mirror up to
you're
you
right.
to show you
right.
your action.
Look, it's tough for me to defend. I went on 60 Minutes, and I thought I defended myself well. It is tough for me in this instance, and I have a feeling maybe you planted Alex. I think you might have planted him.
No, he ripped me. He trashed me.
But that's the rope, though. You planted him so he could come on and, all right, here's what we're going to do, Alex. Trash me at
don't
the beginning.
Do this.
But
don't
make sure we're going to test Mraz.
Mraz, don't do
we're
this.
We're going to test him.
Don't defer, defer, accuse. Deny, deny, accuse.
Something
that is your thing.
You,
you do not accuse me. I did not do anything.
All right.
I did not set up Alex.
Well, maybe we should, honestly, maybe that should be the poll question this week. Would you guys prefer a 90-minute best of? And will the download, or you know what? It shouldn't be a poll question. Maybe I should just do it. Keep my mouth shut. And after a month of doing it, I should present you the data of, is this enhancing our number? Is this beneficial to the show? Is this enhancing our numbers? Or is it hurting our numbers in other places? And then we have DA Analytics. We have it there. We have the data put together on whether this is helpful and whether, you know, it's only benefiting Alex or is it benefiting everybody? And maybe that's the way to go about it. I should use numbers and use the way Pro Football Focus uses this and the way, you know, data and analytics are used to make baseball lineups. Maybe instead of having that stupid face I just made and be disgruntled about more work, maybe I should just shut up, do work, do hard work, and let numbers tell the story and know that I'll either be wrong or right based on what the numbers say after a month.
I'm seeing some real growth out of you.
Well, that, is that not a mature enough answer to that?
That is absolutely the correct answer.
Okay.
I'm not even going to necessarily make you do this. I just think that...
Well, see, now I have to. Now I have to. Because we're going to get to Monday and you're going to go, you know, I didn't say you had to do it, but clearly you took the approach that you didn't want to do it. I know this game. I grew up with parents. I know what I'm doing now at 10:05 a.m. Eastern today. I know what's happening.
What's more important is the approach. And that approach was a wonderful approach. Way better than the initial approach of throwing down your pen in disgust and rubbing your eyes. Oh, my God, why would this guy try to put more work on my plate?
There was definitely anger and frustration at the idea of this. And that was me workshopping in real time, by the way. I have no time to react.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, Denny Hamlin's going to join us. He won the Daytona 500 yesterday. When we come back, Brett Gardner, Yankees outfielder, has quite the stalker. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
A no sweat pants at work zone.
I think I learned a lot about myself. I couldn't focus. There was no structure to my life. I went off the rails eating. The rest of my day felt ruined. I was more tired by not working.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
More tired from not working. How about that? You can always listen to the DA show in podcast form by going to CBSSportsRadio.com. Listen to the full show, full 4 hours, always posted there. Also on Apple Podcasts, as well as radio.com, Stitcher, Spotify, and other places podcasts are available. Tuesday night at 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific, sixth-ranked Dayton, that's tonight, heads to VCU to battle the Rams in an A-10 showdown only on the CBS Sports Network.
CBS Sports Spectacular, yeah!
And before that, you can catch me on the CBS Sports Network. I'll be filling in for Time to Shine again tonight. I did so yesterday, a lot of fun, tonight and tomorrow night. That's 6 until 7 o'clock Eastern Time, 5 until 6 Central on CBS Sports Network. Our toll-free line is sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. That's easy.
She's a bad girl, David.
Well, this is the definition of a bad girl. Yankees slugger Brett Gardner has asked a judge to keep a crazed fan away from him. Now, this crazed fan, we'll call Gina, has said that he is her future husband and that she is his future wife. The Yankees want Gina banned from all MLB ballparks. She says she's the founder of an anti-aging biotech company. And Major League Baseball and the Yankees booted her out of Yankee Stadium during a playoff game in October. Gina says that she is requesting the court grant her access to the stadium. And also, in accordance with fan policy and her significant other, which means Brett Gardner. She says, I am a Yankees fan and I am also the future wife of Brett. She has never met Brett Gardner, But she claims in her lawsuit, because she has now a counter lawsuit, that the outfielder has hinted that he is interested in her. Why? She says because she has seen video, or she has seen him on the dugout steps doing a, quote, motion with his hips on the stairs as though he is having relations with me. Now, she also claimed that Brett Gardner makes a, quote, sad face during home games that she does not attend. And that after 3 years of romancing online, she's going to start going to games because she sees that Brett desires this. Her Twitter feed is riddled with references to Brett Gardner, like, Happy Valentine's Day, Mia Moore, look forward to seeing you soon. I've never seen you angry at me, Gardy. I will claim you play the role of my husband. That is my first night. That is my first right. My second right is to be allowed inside Yankee Stadium.
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
During an interview with NJ.com, a reporter pointed out that Brett Gardner is already married. Gina said, quote, this is of not importance. Gina says she's unfairly being painted as a, quote, deranged, rambling woman on the loose. And she says she is being seen as a threat to order and safety. But Gina also says that, you know, when he plays, he signals me. They have their own signals, first of all, for pitch types and all that. Another thing called romantically and sexually signaling toward me as well. That is how our relationship has progressed, because he has started to sexually signal toward me.
She's a bad girl, David.
Well, hard to argue with Gina's evidence here, especially as an owner of a biotech company.
Take that for data. What, I mean, I got to look for these motions now this season.
Yeah, so that's the one thing that I'd like to see. What exactly is Gardner doing with his hips at the top step that she is going, hey, see, that's for me. That's like the peacocks in Coconut Grove sexually signaling towards me.
But is it, maybe it's like Dak Prescott hip thrust? Is that how he's stretching and getting ready for at-bats?
I mean, have we ever seen something so sexually suggestive from Brett Gardner?
But you know what? This is skinny shaming, too. Because if I was, let's say, Luke Voit, and I was up at the top of the dugout steps, and I was doing those same motions, there's no way she would think I was being that suggestive to her.
Mm.
She would think, there's a fatty doing hip thrusts. But Brett Gardner, you know, a thin, decent-looking guy does it, and suddenly we're going to get married. I think that's ridiculous out of her. I think that's really the real shame in this.
I think that's a fair point. You know, if the late Don Zimmer is stretching, nobody's going, oh, you know,
right,
he wants to...
Don wants to bed me. Right.
Don wants to bed me. But instead, you know, it's Brett Gardner, and suddenly, oh, yeah, he's got the hots for me.
It's ridiculous. Throw her out.
Throw her out. Throw her out of the league. Well, Brett Gardner, he's got something cooking there. Now that really gives new meaning to John Sterling's it's a Gardy party, and he plants one. Brad Heller has your headlines. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, DA. Daytona 500 champ Denny Hamlin's going to join you in just a few minutes here on the show. Back-to-back wins for Hamlin. He edged out Ryan Blaney in a photo finish last night. But there was also a scary crash on that final lap. Ryan Newman was in the lead when his car was bumped. It flipped and burst into flames as it crossed the finish line. Newman's in serious condition. His injuries are not life-threatening. Hamlin, the first driver to win back-to-back Daytona 500s since Sterling Marlin in 1994 and 1995. From college basketball, 11 straight wins for Kansas. The third-ranked Jayhawks beat Iowa State 91-71. Next up for them will be Baylor on the road on Saturday. North Carolina losing again 6 in a row. They blew a 15-point second-half lead, fell to Notre Dame 77-76. Nate Leshefsky, the go-ahead three-pointer with 1.8 seconds to go. The Tar Heels are last in the ACC at 3-12. Speaking of the ACC, the league is joining the Big Ten in supporting a one-time transfer exemption for all student athletes. They believe that athletes in all sports should be allowed to transfer one time without having to sit out a year. From the NBA, the Cavaliers are reportedly talking about parting ways with head coach John Beilein, who is only in year one of a five-year contract. The Cavs are 14-40, the worst record in the Eastern Conference. The Rockets are reportedly going to sign veterans Damari Carroll and Jeff Green. from the NHL. 11 straight wins now for the Lightning. That is a franchise record. They beat the Avalanche in overtime 4-3. The game winner scored by Nikita Kucherov. No goals, no points for Alex Ovechkin in five straight games. He is still stuck on 698 goals. The Capitals lost to the Golden Knights 3-2. DA?
Thank you, Brad. When we return, Daytona 500 winner Denny Hamlin will join us. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
New time slot, same mothership.
I just want to tell you, you have no idea how happy I am to have you guys in a time slot that I can actually listen to you again. I've been out of the loop for probably like a couple of years because of the old time slot. And so now I'm excited.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks so much for joining us here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. Damon Amendolara, DA with you each and every morning. 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, on all of these wonderful CBS Sports Radio stations, SiriusXM Channel 206, that also you can stream us, tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. Our next guest has won 3 Daytona 500s, claiming victory yesterday. He is only the 4th ever driver to win back-to-back Daytonas. He joins legendary drivers in that. And, of course, yesterday was a reschedule after Sunday's rainout and a crazy wreck, a fiery wreck at the end where Ryan Newman had to be extracted from the car. Thankfully, he is not sustaining life-threatening injuries right now in serious condition, but not life-threatening. Joining us here on the show after a wild Daytona 500 yesterday is the champ, Denny Hamlin. Denny, good morning. Congratulations.
Good morning.
Appreciate you being with us. Yeah, absolutely. When you are on a list with Richard Petty, Cale Yarborough, and Sterling Marlin, what does that feel like?
There's one name that is the oddball, and that one's mine for sure. Those are legends of our sport, and obviously guys that have huge accomplishments, and it's very humbling from my standpoint to even kind of be mentioned in the same breath with those guys.
How does it feel winning back-to-back? What is the feeling like a year later to do it again, right where you did it 1 year ago?
Yeah, I mean, the wins have been so different from 16 to 19, now 20. It just, they've got different feels, different ways that we've done it, but all of them have certainly a very special presence in my heart, and I definitely need some time to let this one soak in to figure out what it means to me exactly. But I know that we were very excited to go back to back and make history.
It's a difficult situation because of the wreck with Ryan Newman. Is it awkward today to want to celebrate knowing that he is dealing with serious injuries?
Yeah, I mean, it's still, you still have to kind of check your emotions and whatnot. It is a very difficult situation to be in, to be honest with you. Certainly when we found out as a race team, it definitely changed the mood, I guess you could say, in victory lane at that point. So we didn't know until we got into victory lane what all was going on. So we're kind of flying blind there for a little while, but luckily we got some good news, obviously, from the hospital last night.
Denny Hamlin wins the Daytona 500, his third win in Daytona, joining us this morning here on the show. Take us through that, because last night viewers watched you celebrate when we saw the wreck, and some were critical that you were celebrating, but you didn't know. So take us through what your timeline was in the car, and then when you realized what was happening behind you.
Yeah, once we crossed the checkered there, you're starting to kind of unstrap and whatnot. I'd let my winning net down, and I went through a lug nut check there at the end of pit road. And at that point, I started, we usually do an interview right there at the start-finish line. So, of course, I'm taking off my radio, my helmet, and all that stuff, so I'm not getting any more communication. So I don't know anything that's going on. And then obviously when the TV, Jamie from Fox came over and said they're not going to do the start-finish line interview, just go straight to victory lane, I knew that there was something serious at that point. So, they they briefed me right there once we got into Victory Circle. And obviously, it certainly changed the mood of myself and the race team at that point.
Your spotter, Chris Lambert, took the blame himself on Twitter last night, said, if you want to blame anybody, it should have been me. I should have alerted Denny to what was going on. What were your conversations like with Chris last night?
Yeah, I mean, we really didn't talk about it a whole lot last night, and I'm sure we will in the next few days, obviously, when we talk about when we debrief from this weekend and talk about things we could do better, you know, things that we did do good. You know, we like to kind of go over each weekend and kind of talk about them and figure out how we can be better. So certainly, you know, he didn't know at that point. He, as a matter of fact, was over there talking to Ryan Spotter, trying to get an update of what was going on. But there's obviously a lot of chaos going on. You know, trying to get communication from Ryan. So it definitely, you know, is a lack of communication, but there really wasn't, he didn't know any more information than probably anyone did, unless you were kind of in the stands right there. So, you know, like I said, you can be what you think is close proximity and still be a long way away. And from where I was, I couldn't see anything.
Do you appreciate a teammate like that stepping up and saying, hey, if you're going to blame anybody, blame me?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we're the guys that talk to each other all the time, and he's really one of the keys to my success on those super speedway races. So we've been working together for 8 years now. It's been a great working relationship, and obviously been a great teammate.
On lap 184, there was 19 cars involved in a chain reaction crash. And that obviously set up what we saw at the end. How did you navigate that? What were you seeing with that as it unfolded? And how did that affect the end of the race?
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of thinned the field out. You know, it's a wreck that we usually see in the Daytona 500 at some point. You see them kind of starting, you know, what they call the big one, where you know, you've got at least 10 cars involved, but you know, we run so close together on these super speedways that when one car gets turned sideways or gets crossed up, it wrecks happen, and it's going to definitely collect a lot of cars with it. So, you know, we were luckily in a position where I could kind of move down to the left and avoid Keselowski on the backstretch when he hit the wall. So we kind of came out of that one unscathed. And at that point, when the field was thinned, I thought that we had a great shot to win at that point.
Denny Hamlin joining us this morning after winning the Daytona 500. With a third Daytona 500 win and two in a row, people have mentioned that you now have an official Hall of Fame resume. I know you don't think of yourself like that, but how does it feel to be considered with legends, like, as we mentioned, some of the guys that have won three Daytonas before?
Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, I don't know what it means for and your legacy or anything like that. I think that's kind of for the outside public to kind of discuss and people and your peers. But for myself, I mean, I never would have envisioned, you know, even making it to the Cup Series, much less, you know, having all the accomplishments and big race wins that we've got. So we're far from done. I still got a lot of races and a championship I'd like to win. So we're going to keep digging over the next few years and getting it done.
You spent about a year ago a fun night with Aaron Rodgers, Danica Patrick, and Justin Timberlake, I believe, in Scottsdale. I know that became news around the gossip circuits. You got to take me through this night. That's a big night for just about anybody, let alone to hang out with celebrities like that for yourself.
Well, I have friends that know him. So I'm just one of those innocent bystanders that get to hang out with a lot of cool people. And that's, you know, one of the great things about my job is just being able to meet some of the great people that I've gotten to meet, and you know, some that I play golf with. And so it's been a crazy, you know, last 15 years of my career is seeing how things, you know, my life has changed, and you know, the sport has changed. And so you know, to be able to, you know, hang out with people that you kind of look up to, it's always cool.
I mean, if you were to go back number of years to the young Denny Hamlin and say, hey, you're going to win Daytona 500, you'll be hanging out with Justin Timberlake, what does young Denny Hamlin say to that idea?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what I'd say to myself now, but, you know, other than wake up. But it's like I say, it's just, it's really, I get to be part of some unique opportunities of meeting a lot of interesting people that, like I say, that I look up to, and it's been an amazing ride.
Denny Hamlin wins his third Daytona 500 yesterday, his second in a row, setting up a big start to the season for him and the crew. Denny, congratulations on the victory. I appreciate the time this morning, man. Enjoy it.
All right, thank you.
You got it. Denny Hamlin, our guest this morning here on the show after victory yesterday in Daytona. And I could only imagine how terrifying all of that is when you are celebrating what is a huge, momentous championship and a win yesterday. Not a championship, but a win. And then you realize that, oh no, behind me is going on and there's a major wreck and we've got a driver that's being pried out of the car and we got flames and we got a crazy crash and we've got a silent grandstand. It's got to be mortifying. You know, I could only imagine. And so I think Joe Gibbs and Denny kind of made their public statements yesterday known, hey, we didn't know that anything was going on. And this is why I think, you know, sometimes social media is such a dangerous thing. Everybody reacts in real time as though everybody knows everything going on at that moment in time. But here's Hamlin, who just thinks he's celebrating his own victory and instead is getting crucified on social media because there's a guy that's getting pried out of a car and he didn't even know it. 855-212-4CBS on a Trash Tuesday, 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Want to read through some trashes here. Captain Johnny tweets, DA, I'm trashing the cable company. Every football game is scheduled for 3 hours, and most games last longer. I'll forget sometimes to add extra time when recording a game on the DVR. I end up missing almost all of the second half of the fourth quarter. Why, DA, why?
Overflowing landfill.
Yep, problematic, I agree. Paul tweets, I'm trashing my father-in-law for nearly hitting me on the road while I had two kids in the car because I was crossing three lanes not looking. Then, when asked about it, he said there was a lady coming into his lane. No, there wasn't. You just suck at driving.
Warning, hazardous material.
Gosh, that sounds like it could have been very, very bad there. Whew. Especially as a father-in-law. Lonnie tweets, DA, can I get an over-under on if Mraz is going to shut his mouth and just do the best of podcast? I think I could make some real DA money here. Love the mothership. Can I get a Bima?
I'm all for more work.
Said Mraz, never. JD tweets, I'm trashing Mraz's work ethic / Trash Tuesday.
I smell rotten eggs.
How do I know how JD works at his job? You know, work ethic, you want to bash me? He wants to bash. Everybody here can bash me. I don't like this from JD. How do I know what he does at his job? I'm sure he never goes out and takes 16 puff breaks to smoke some cigarettes. Goes out for an elongated lunch. Maybe milks punching the clock in and out. If you don't know me, you don't bash my work ethic unless I could show up for a day, throw up my feet, and watch you work for a day. I mean, take a lap, JD. I mean, really.
So you don't really get offended when people like Joe D'Aloisio take a
no,
shot?
No, he's seen my work ethic. I've seen his work ethic. It's a conglomerate. I get it. I know what he works like. I know what there's no fight there. If you're JD and you said, let me type away because I'm going to laugh at what DA said, make him on a rise. I don't want to hear from you because my guess is, JD, you half-ass it at work all the time. And you're going to take a shot at mine where there's no ability for any of us to fire back. I'm sorry that I just reached a little boiling point there, but I could take it from you. I could take it from Bogus. I could take it from Sam Rubinoff, of all people. I'm not going to take it from JD from Tucson. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it.
I am the producer / sidekick.
Well, you've said, though, on the air that, quote, I'm a crap producer.
Right. I have. But again, so now I'm going to get punished because I'm outward and upfront, and JD, the postal worker from Section 3902 in Tempe, is going to tell me about my work ethic. Like he's never been slamming down In-N-Out Burger when he should be patrolling the streets. I mean, come on.
I'm such a crap producer. You know that?
I do think it's pretty funny that you assume that JD has either taken 16 puff breaks, slammed down In-N-Out Burgers, where went do-do-do-do-do-do-do on the keyboard.
I have a hard time thinking JD's working nine-hour days, not milking anybody for any overtime, and just saying, hey, I'm here for the company. There's no shot.
Alien OG tweets, DA, I'm trashing the waitress at Texas Roadhouse on Sunday. She didn't know who Ice-T is. This man's a legend. Her ignorance was beyond offensive to me. Hashtag Trash Tuesday.
Are those maggots?
When we return here on the show, could Philip Rivers end up in Indy? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Here comes the butt.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.